B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome to Nerd Radio right here, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course on the HD2 station. My name is Chuck Bean, and before I introduce my co-host for this particular episode, Erica, let me give you a little bit of history before we even start. So Nerd Radio encompasses a lot of things. It encompasses comic books, video games, and wrestling, because wrestling is a big thing that I absolutely enjoy. This particular week, this episode of Nerd Radio, releasing wherever you get your Nerd Radio podcast, on a Wednesday. Typically, the podcast released on Friday morning. Now, we also broadcast on an HD2 station here in Detroit City, Rift 2, on Wednesday nights. So here's what's going on. You can download this particular episode of Nerd Radio as a bonus this week on the podcast page. However, this episode is not airing tonight on the HD2 station. The episode that's airing tonight on the HD2 station will go up on Friday. But that episode technically happened before this episode. You don't need to know that all, you know, it's not important for continuity base. Just letting you know you're getting a bonus episode this week because we have a whole bunch of wrestling news to talk about. My co-host for this episode of Nerd Radio, Erica Banis.
Charles,
welcome to the show.
Thank you for having
me. As always.
What a week. What a way to kick off 2019. I mean, with the highest of highs and in a bummer of a low, which we will get to
absolutely.
Eventually.
Absolutely. So you text me yesterday saying that you needed an entire episode of Nerd Radio.
I may have been a little facetious. You know how I get.
I do. And I wanted to, I feel like you are up to the challenge.
You are up to the challenge.
Because there are three major things we're going to hit in this week's Nerd Radio. The most recent, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, is the passing of WWE Hall of Famer Mean Gene Okerlund.
Total bummer, man.
We have the emergence of possibly a new wrestling organization known as All Elite Wrestling, which we will talk about. And the most important part of why this episode is going up when it is because this Friday is Wrestle Kingdom 13, New Japan Pro Wrestling's essentially their WrestleMania. We talked about it a little bit the last time you were on the show, but mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure just to hit on it again because it's 2 days away.
It's 2 days away. And before we started recording, you know, I touched on how I didn't take off any time during the holidays.
Sure.
You know, mind you, I do have the vacation time, but for various reasons, I didn't take off time. I took off Friday so I can watch Wrestle Kingdom live starting at 4 a.m.
That was the first thing I was going to point out is that because it happens in Japan's Tokyo Dome,
mm-hmm.
it starts in our time zone at 4 a.m.
Yes, I have purchased some ZQL and I will probably be taking that Thursday night at around like 7:30.
Make sure you get a couple hours of sleep and then
quality.
Set your alarm.
Yeah, quality sleep. Set my alarm. I've already purchased some Starbucks double shot cans, which considering today I'm coming down from a weird panic attack that was kind of triggered
by some caffeine
and then the passing of Mean Gene Okerlund, which we will get to later in the show.
For sure.
I'm now rethinking that, so maybe, who knows? I think maybe just the natural adrenaline of just this card in general is going to carry me through.
Right. Now, how long have you been a huge fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling?
I mean,
like, where did it start for you?
I've dabbled because my husband, Eric, who you know
yep.
and have met, and, he also a wrestling enthusiast.
Sure.
He's had New Japan World for a while, their streaming service, New Japan
yep.
streaming service. And, like, I would watch things here and there, but I didn't really get just balls to the wall when it comes to New Japan until this year. And the big reason for that was the G1 tournament.
Sure.
Which
yeah.
was simply outstanding.
And we discussed in a previous episode, you guys watched it live as it happened that month.
Well, I mean, we not live, but like basically every day we came home from work.
Yes.
Like, okay, let's turn on the G1. Like, we stayed in bubbles. We avoided a lot of wrestling Twitter. We watched it unfold together. And it was just outstanding wrestling, just five-star match after five-star match. Incredible plot lines throughout the whole thing. It was overwhelming in just how much content there was.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that I guess may deter people from checking out something like a G1, because it is a commitment.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of wrestling, but it was so good. It was so good. And compared to the product on the USA Network, it was night and day.
Well, that was one. That's the thing I'm going to hit on quite a bit in this particular episode, is for the typical American wrestling fan who only knows WWE and maybe a little bit of Ring of Honor and a little bit of like Impact Wrestling or something like that. Like, how would you describe the difference when it comes to New Japan Pro Wrestling to like a WWE product?
More emphasis on the wrestling and less on the backstage promos and mm-hmm. the bits and whatnot. Like, when you tune into anything with New Japan, you are watching matches. And then after matches, like, they, you know, wrestlers go backstage and they usually cut a promo there. A lot of the promos like aren't aired traditionally during a broadcast. Like, you right. have to go to their YouTube page and watch them. Whoever is headlining the card that day, they usually do a promo from the ring, and then that's how the show ends. And also, when you factor into, okay, so it's more wrestling than promo, but when the promos are done, these are guys talking off the cuff, no scripts.
Yes.
These are guys who haven't been dictated how to act. These are people, you buy into the character. You believe it. You can, like, look, we all know it's scripted. We get it. But I am able to suspend reality when I watch these promos, when I watch these matches. And I firmly believe that within the match itself, there's so much storytelling there. And I think it's done better. And the storytelling is, and I know I've said it's slow burn. It's more methodical. It's not as
That's
erratic.
That's absolutely a thing, because they don't have a weekly television show to crank out.
Exactly. You know,
there's a lot of times where they go from one event like a Wrestle Kingdom to the next within, you know, 3 months, and there's not a bunch of TV in between.
Right. And personally, you know, and I know other people may disagree, but I like that structure better than a weekly program. One, you give wrestlers some time off to heal.
True.
Which I think is incredibly valuable. And by giving them proper time to heal, they're able to do crazier things in the ring. I am a champion of quality over quantity. I will do that any day of the week. And that's what I get from New Japan. Why bother tuning in on a Monday night or Tuesday night if you're getting the same old, and it's just not good?
Sure.
If you're not holding my attention, why am I watching you?
Right. All right. Well, like I said, it's essentially their WrestleMania. It starts at like 4 a.m. There are a bunch of matches. I don't feel like we need to run down the entire card, but no. what are you know, let's say two or three of the matches that you cannot wait to get your eyes on this Friday.
So, kicking off the show, which the fact that this is curtain jerking the event, and it could potentially be like a match of the year for 2019, is Kota Ibushi versus Will Ospreay.
Okay.
The buildup to them facing off has been outstanding.
Now, just before you get rolling, there's a GIF that's been going around online of Will Ospreay and Kota Ibushi that
yes!
is fantastic.
Yes!
What match is that from?
That is from the final match in 2018 at New Japan. It was a tag match between Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega,
okay.
and Will Ospreay, and Hiroshi Tanahashi, who
okay.
Kenny and Tanahashi are facing off in the main event, and Kota and Will Ospreay are kicking off the show.
Yes.
So, I mean, they are just that is one hell of a bookend that you have going on.
Absolutely.
And the matches in between, there's going to be just a lot of different storylines paying off. What's very fascinating about this show, and I watched some prediction videos of people who I follow, some various British content creators. There's so many directions that these matches can go. Like, there's no.
So you don't feel like you know who's going to win a match.
I have no. Like, it's really hard because it could go in one direction, but you know there could be a crazy ass swerve. Like, when there's been so many WWE events that we've talked about this past year where you look at the card and you're like, yeah, we know how this is going to play out.
Sure.
Yeah, we know how this is going to play out. There are, like, I have no idea.
What do you think factors into that? Like, why do you think that is?
I think the booking is more methodical. I think, too, there is a benefit to not having to write programming for television every single week.
Oh, for sure.
I think that that's evident in how storylines play out in New Japan. You know, just because something may not be working out right now, they don't abandon it.
Okay.
They kind of retool it. And they proceed with caution, and they kind of just see what works.
They try and course correct it a couple of times before they decide to go in a different direction.
They do. And then, like, I mean, how many times have we watched programming with WWE and it's something happened last week and then all of a sudden just boom, dropped the following week.
Right.
So, you know, it's once again, it's I think there's a lot to say to having a program on TV every single week, but I think It depends on what you're into, because let's face it, Ray reached out to me over the weekend after the AEW news, and we'll get to that shortly. But, you know, he's a WWE guy. He's not going to change his ways.
Right.
Even though I think he'd really like the storytelling if he gave it a friggin' chance.
Sure.
And he won't, because he's a stubborn man, and that's fine. That's Ray. That's Ray's brand. All right.
Well,
I can't fault the man.
Right.
But I just, they don't abandon things right away. They give it a chance to kind of play out and, once again, course correct.
Right. Well, you mentioned, like you said, the show's opening with Kota Ibushi and Will Ospreay, both fantastic, smaller, more high-flying type of talent, which you see a lot of in New Japan.
Yes.
You don't see a lot of, like, really massive kind of bruisers, but they are there.
Yeah.
And then the bookend to that match, the last match, is going to be Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
I saw over the weekend Kenny Omega, let me back up. So Kenny Omega is a huge video game player.
Big.
And he has done things with Xavier Woods, who works over in WWE, who's also a huge video game player, has his own YouTube channel, Up Up Down Down, where he plays video games with other WWE talent and stuff like that. Kenny and Xavier did a top games of 2018 list for a particular website. Together, and one of Kenny's top games of 2018 was the game Undertale, which actually came out about 2 years ago on the computer, but was just re-released on, like, the PlayStation 4 and the Nintendo Switch or something like that. So Kenny's just getting around to Undertale. Great game, loved it, had a great time. Apparently reached out to the creator of Undertale, Toby Fox, and had him put together a version of a fight that you would have seen in Undertale with a Kenny Omega sprite and a Hiroshi Tanahashi sprite for a video package that they were talking about playing before the match.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's not happening Friday, so they just released it on YouTube. But if you're a fan of Undertale, you really should check it out, because the thing that's fascinating to me is that professional wrestler in Japan, Kenny Omega, really likes this video game, and then through the magic of the internet gets a hold of the guy who made the game and says, hey, how much would it take for you to just, like, make me a little video package of this game? Like, it's so awesome.
His, you know, foray into gaming is, I mean, I'm not a gamer per se, but I love Kenny Omega. But it is fascinating to see, like, you can kind of already see him thinking about life after wrestling and what he can kind of do in the gaming industry, because he was featured in, like, the trailer for Street Fighter V.
Yes, he was.
So, like, it's insane that he's so into that culture.
Yes.
And he's so revered and recognized as a champion for these brands that they're like, yeah, we'll put you in the ad.
Right.
Like, that's crazy. That's amazing.
But that, as I was going back to what I was saying, Kenny Omega and Hiroshi Tanahashi should be a fascinating match for multiple reasons.
Right.
What's I know Chris Jericho's wrestling. That's somebody that, you know, anybody who's watched WWE knows the name Chris Jericho, which is kind of, and Cody Rhodes, who now goes by Cody, is also fighting in a match, which is, it's kind of cool.
Yes. Cody is the current IWGP US champion. He'll be facing Juice Robinson. I think Juice is going to win that one out, and I hope he does, because he's so over with the fans in Japan. Like the Japanese fans love Juice Robinson. It's really actually like cute, and just kind of really heartwarming, especially considering Juice Robinson is formerly CJ Parker, who was in NXT. He was the hippie, you know, who was all pro environment and whatnot. He had the dreads. And to see him kind of ask for his outright release in WWE, rework his style, go to Japan and catch on with the fans and really make a name for himself, it's probably one of my favorite stories to happen in the past couple of years.
Well, let's put a pin in that, because that leads into what we're going to talk about next. So let's take a short break.
Okay.
But there's 10 matches on the card. It starts at 4 a.m., but it's on video on demand services. There's a New Japan service. There's Fight TV.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of services. You can check it out online, and it will have repercussions leading forward in 2019. And we'll talk about that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, what's up? It's WWE Superstar Braun Strowman, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
And we are back. It's more Nerd Radio right here on the podcast page at WRF.com and wherever you get your podcasts. All over the iTunes and the Spotify. I think we might even be on Stitcher. Not sure.
On Stitcher. And don't forget, we're also on BePodStudios.com.
You definitely want to check that out. Mm-hmm. BePod Studios. It is Erica and Chuck sitting in for a special all wrestling episode of Nerd Radio. We just got done talking about Wrestle Kingdom 13, which is happening this Friday. But there's another bit of news that dropped right around the beginning of the new year.
Literally at the beginning of the new year.
Yeah, within the last 48 hours. Do you want to intro this?
All right. Well, in case you've been living under a rock and you are a wrestling fan, at 3 p.m. Eastern, or 3 p.m., 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 a.m. Midnight, New Year's Day, the rumors have been confirmed. Cody, the Young Bucks, will be launching All Elite Wrestling in the new year and will be hosting a new event, basically All In 2, dubbed Double or Nothing, at a later event sometime this year. We'll be learning more details on January 8th at a special press conference, I think, taking place at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time from Jacksonville, Florida. The owners of the Jacksonville Jaguars, they have now been made official as backers of this new promotion. Once again, the promotion exists. We don't know what exactly is happening.
Sure.
Oddly enough, and I don't know if you caught this in the various news reports that are happening, this press conference / rally is happening within walking distance of whatever venue that WWE SmackDown is emanating from that day.
Ooh.
I thought that was rather interesting.
Yeah, that's ballsy.
It's giant ballsy. I have no idea what's going to happen with that, but it's going to be so much fun.
Okay, so a crash course in these particular personalities, and kind of the fascinating way that this has come about. I would say it starts with the Bullet Club.
Yes.
Which started in New Japan a couple of years ago, thanks to Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson and Finn Balor?
Well, you had Finn Balor and Bad Luck Fale, who were like the original members. Okay. And then you had Tama Tonga, then Carl Anderson, then Gallows got in, and those were kind of like right. the real base.
And it was a faction a la the New World Order, the NWO, from WCW Nitro days. Mm-hmm. All those guys were big fans of the factions, the DX and the NWO, so yes. they decided to make a faction in New Japan, mm-hmm. And then they made themselves some t-shirts, and then they just printed money because everybody needed a Bullet Club t-shirt.
Sure did.
And it became bigger, and AJ Styles at one point when Finn Balor left became the leader of the Bullet Club for a little while. Now the Bullet Club consists of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are still there.
Well,
Cody Rhodes, mm-hmm. who you were just talking before about Juice Robinson, was a talent that left NXT. Yes. To try his hand out at the independent wrestling scene. Cody Rhodes. The biggest success story, I would imagine, in the last couple of years yeah. of somebody who, when they offered him a contract, decided, no, you know what? I'm going to try my hand in the independent scene. I think I could be better utilized than I am being right now in the WWE mm-hmm. and has really put his money where his mouth is yeah. on more than one occasion.
He sure has.
And delivered pretty much every time. And that leads to All In.
Right. Well, you know, for the record, too, the those Bullet Club guys are no longer in the Bullet Club. You know, your Kenny Omega's, your Young Bucks, Cody,
yes.
Marty Scurll, and Hangman Page. They're now just officially the Elite.
Which is their YouTube channel.
Yes, being the Elite. The Elite was originally just Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, and then it kind of branched off to once Cody kind of came into the fold. He joined up with them, and obviously, you know, Cody Rhodes being the son of Dusty Rhodes, you know, a hint of ambitious.
Sure.
And, you know, he kind of, you know, saw eye to eye with the Young Bucks, and they have big ideas and big dreams, and then that kind of led to All In, and it's now led to this new promotion.
Now, being the Elite is their YouTube channel / show. How
yes.
long has that been going on?
It's been over 2 years now. I think okay. if you go back to like the very first episode, it's sometime in 2016.
And it's a mix of sketch comedy and just following them on the road.
Yeah.
And seeing them, you know, just going from place to place.
Right. Like it first started off as like strictly like behind the scenes stuff. And then I think at one point they're like, you know, how many times can we show them on a plane
right
now? And they started incorporating storylines. And that just kind of, it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
And it became, it very quickly became a place where they can further storylines. Once again, we talked earlier about the fact that New Japan doesn't put out a weekly television show.
Right.
However, if you watch Being the Elite, which I don't know how often they put those out.
Usually once a week.
Right.
Yeah, Mondays.
But if you watch Being the Elite, any of the members of the Elite, any storylines that they're currently involved in mm-hmm. are furthered on their YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And, you know, adds a little bit of spice to the thing.
Yeah.
And that is essentially how they announced that they're going to have their own wrestling federation,
yeah.
All Elite Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
is they had the most recent episode. They
mm-hmm.
they had a countdown, a New Year's countdown that led to a graphic on their phones, which was the Double or Nothing, and
mm-hmm.
then Hangman Page is the one that had the All Elite Wrestling
yep.
on the thing, which, you know, leads to the speculation that Cody, the Bucks, and Hangman Page are, would officially be the first four
yeah.
personalities you can expect to see.
Mm-hmm.
In All Elite Wrestling. Like you said, Jaguars owner Tony Khan has been connected to this already, and I just read a news report yesterday that people are already throwing TV offers at them. They don't know what this is, but they want it
right
on your screens.
Yeah, from what I've read, like there have been television negotiations. Obviously, right now, we don't know what networks are involved. It's going to be very fascinating to see what networks are involved, especially since Impact Wrestling has left Pop
Yes.
Network, and I've now gone to like some hunting channel that I've never even heard of.
Right.
I don't even remember it off the top of my head. When I saw that news release come out a couple weeks ago, I'm like, what the hell? And it's a total bummer for Impact because
sure.
they were really starting to kind of, I think, gather steam and really enhance that brand because yeah, obviously it's been kind of floundering for a number of years. Then
right.
Don Callis gets involved. He's now, I think, I don't know if CEO or president, either way, like he's kind of
running
the renaissance.
Yeah,
of it.
They've gone through quite a few different owners, if you
yes.
will, that are, you know, the guy who's in charge of the whole shebang kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that has caused them to do a lot of missteps. But there's been a lot of neat stuff that's happened on Impact, too. And it's been a really good, For a long time, it was where you went when the WWE released you.
Yep.
For better or worse. And some guys, like R-Truth, for instance, went to, he was one of the earliest guys to go to Impact back when it was TNA Wrestling,
right,
and hold their heavyweight championship for a while. Just, you know, not only, I wouldn't say on his name, but on the fact that he was really good at his craft.
Yeah.
And then get to, you know, come back after a couple years after, you know, plying it in a different format.
Right.
And that's the interesting thing about how wrestling works in 2019 now, is that there are a lot of options if you're a professional wrestler. Like, yeah, the top of the mountain still definitely getting on the weekly WWE television product.
Absolutely. And I really don't think that's going to change. But I feel like with AEW, this, there's finally going to be like legitimate competition. And it's, I think it's going to help everyone, because I feel like, okay, WWE hasn't had really a reason to be better or to want more. They've been on the top of the mountain for, you know, ever since WCW went under. And obviously New Japan has kind of grown in popularity in recent years. But WWE is very much still the number one place. And yeah, I mean, just the worldwide audience that they have, yeah, that's not going to change. This isn't going to be like another, to me, this isn't going to be another Monday Night War where, oh my God, Titan Towers is going to close.
Sure.
And there's, you know, they're going out of business.
Right.
I feel like there is more room in the market for more promotions, and it's only going to want them to create a better product. This is wonderful for wrestling fans.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. And that's something, like you were saying, that we've as wrestling fans, that we've hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you hear that there's that, you know, hey, there's an Impact Wrestling and they're on this TV station.
Yeah.
Or hey, Ring of Honor's got a TV deal, even
right,
though it's syndicated and it's like 2 a.m. here,
yes,
in Detroit kind of thing. Or, you know, hey, you can check out New Japan on what's the cable? AXS, I think.
AXS, yes.
Yeah, at AXS. You know, we always, we want there not only just to be options of different versions of wrestling to watch, but we want there to be competition, because when the wrestling that we're so ingrained in watching, which is the weekly WWE product, isn't living up to our expectations, we want the Monday Night Wars back, because the competition bred a higher
higher quality.
Exactly. A
better
higher quality.
Storytelling and just better athleticism. This is nothing but amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are, do you have anything above and beyond what we've already talked about? Do you have any hopes or aspirations for an All Elite Wrestling? Like, are there any particular? I know that a lot of internet people are looking at the fact that Gallows and Anderson, and both AJ Styles are both in a kind of holding pattern contract wise with the WWE. Like, within the next 3 months, they could either re-sign,
mm-hmm,
or disappear from the WWE screens. And, you know, if they were to, then, you know, and then at the same time, we talked about Wrestle Kingdom. You look on the New Japan side, is it Kenny and the Bucks? Both are in the midst of kind of a negotiations.
Yeah, I don't know where contracts are as of right now. I think the Bucks are up. Well, actually, technically, I think Matt Jackson sent out a tweet today where he said, "Oh, I was a free agent for 13 hours. Nick and I were free agents for about 12 hours." Laughing emoji, and they tweeted out a photo of, it's the Young Bucks, Cody, Hangman Page, Brandi Rhodes, Cody's wife,
right,
and Dana Massey, who is Matt Jackson's wife, and they're all like at a table with like signing something.
Okay.
So clearly they are all in on All Elite Wrestling. The Kenny situation, I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. Obviously, he's the current IWGP heavyweight champion. Title's on the line at Wrestle Kingdom.
Right. And that is fueled by a couple of years ago when AJ Styles dropped the title at a Wrestle Kingdom and 3 weeks later showed up in the Royal Rumble.
Right.
So now we're constantly aware of the fact that Wrestle Kingdom happens, and then about 3 weeks later the Royal Rumble happens. So, you know, people constantly like looking at Wrestle Kingdom and going like, okay, who could be leaving?
Yeah.
Who could be showing up?
I know people are still buzzing on like, oh, Kenny could go to WWE. I really don't think so. 'Cause he's lived in Tokyo for like damn near a decade. Like,
right,
that's his home.
Right.
I'd be shocked if he left it. I personally don't, like, I've been on the fence, but like, I can't see Kenny Omega leaving New Japan. completely.
Yeah.
I can see him being kind of like a special, you know, like a la, like a Brock Lesnar.
He shows
of
up
all
for
Elite Wrestling.
Big, yeah, for big events.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with that. But like, I can't see him making the jump to WWE. They would make him change everything.
Right.
So,
but at the same time, like, if you think about it for a second, that's a pretty ballsy move too, to
right.
like go to WWE and let them use you however you want, and then funnel that WWE money into your own project.
Balls, for sure. that is quite ballsy.
Knowing that you signed like what a somewhere between a 1 and a 3 year deal, and then like
right.
okay, for the next 1 to 3 years, I'm going to work for the big boys, or you know, I'm gonna be on the big stage and the big screen or whatever like that. And I'm just going to take all that money and I'm just going to sack it away. And you know, at the end of my 3 years, once I have the name recognition that you get from being on Monday Night Raw for mm-hmm. X amount of time, even if you're, you know, a minor player or something like that,
right.
then I'm going to go do my own thing.
Right.
But, you know.
There's endless possibilities. And I think just the fact that there's so much unknown and so much that could happen.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember the last time I was this excited to be a wrestling fan.
I think that's what we, as wrestling fans, are most excited about is possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it lives up to our expectations, possibility-wise. If All In is any indication, I would hope so. But at the same time, I recently listened to a Talk Is Jericho podcast. He was talking to, or no, it wasn't a podcast. Jimmy Jacobs, who was on A Talk Is Jericho,
yeah.
Had recently tweeted something out that him and Seth Rollins went back and forth on Twitter about the fact that some people don't understand how hard it is to make a weekly 3 hour show. And, you know, yeah, sometimes those weekly three hour shows really suck. But it's not because people aren't trying whatsoever.
Right.
They're just trying to get a product on TV in time.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, well, you know, you're never going to know what that is like to do until you actually do it. So to have us as fans rail against, you know, writing and backstage, you know, politics or whatever it is, you know, it's, we want to see a good product. We want to be entertained,
right.
But like, you have no idea what that culture and stress is like until you live it.
And that was why Chris Jericho came to mind, because I had recently listened to, he did an episode with Jim Cornette.
Okay.
And he was talking about doing the Jericho Cruise and stuff like that, and how he would not have had any idea, even being Chris Jericho, about how to work the backstage infrastructure
yeah.
of putting together the card and the finishes and the matches. If not for the help of the people in, like, say, Ring of Honor,
yeah.
who are actively doing it.
Well, that was like something that,
and that's as much as we're excited about the talent of you know, an All Elite Wrestling. I think what will really, really cement them, whether or not that they'll live up to expectation, is who do they get to do some of that backstage work.
Yeah, well, I think they've learned a lot from just doing All In, period. Because I know I went to like a meet and greet with the Bucks and
right.
Skrull, and then I listened to like some interviews after that. And I, you know, one of the things that they touched on was just the fact that, yeah, you know, when you're wrestling and you're planning a show, like yeah, there's obvious things you think about, but then there's like, oh, we got to book their hotel. And
right.
their flight. And it's like those little things like that that I think they learned by doing All In. And, you know, who knows what type of structure that AEW is going to have. I think they'll probably start off a little small. Maybe, you know, if they're smart, which first they are.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to go too big too fast. But it's, yeah, there's so much up in the air. And I think they learned so much by doing All In that they're going to take those lessons and apply it to a proper promotion.
Right.
One thing, I don't know where we are at time, but if you go to AEW's Twitter and you see who they're following, obviously there's, you know, you have, you know, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, Christopher Daniels.
Okay.
Let me see, Brandi Rhodes.
A lot of people.
Tony Khan, who he's owner and head of football analytics at the Jaguars. He's now going to be the like president of AEW. Scorpio Sky, Frankie Kazarian. But there's a number of arenas that they're following.
Okay.
And one of them happens to be, for our own selfish reasons and happily so, is Little Caesars Arena. Like, they have a select amount of arenas that they are following. One of them is the Sears Center Arena, which is where All In took place. You got Little Caesars. You have, scrolling, PNC Arena, which is where the Carolina Hurricanes play. You have T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. The Q in Cleveland. you have Seattle Center, Smoothie King Center, Toyota Center. Target Center in Minneapolis.
So they're not aiming small arena-wise at all.
So, I mean, or they're just trying to throw us off the scent.
Maybe.
It's very interesting. And going back to Little Caesars, the Double or Nothing logo.
I was going to bring this up because it's irresponsible speculation at this point. However,
yes,
that Double or Nothing logo, the D in the double, looks an awful lot like the old English D that the Tigers use.
Now, Ray, this is what Ray reached out to me about. He's like, it looks awfully familiar. And here's the thing. I never know if Ray is pointing out something out of positive
or if he's trolling you.
Or if he's trolling me like, oh, copyright infringement. Because once again, this is the relationship Ray and I have.
Sure.
I didn't even think, like, when I saw the logo, I didn't even think about that.
No.
I just thought it was like, it's a D.
Yeah. All right. Double or nothing. Cool.
I mean, if you're going to get picky, it's like, oh, hey, that A looks like that A.
Like right.
Now you're just comparing fonts, and that's silly. I mean, if Double or Nothing takes place in Detroit, amazing.
Yeah.
Because with that event's going to come a convention,
yep.
Which you bet your sweet ass we're going to try and get on Podcast Row then.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not counting on it.
Right.
I don't think it is because of the whole, like, if you look at the logo, it's very,
I feel like
it's
no
very
matter...
Vegas centric. It's very gambling. So that's why I'm thinking, like, are they going to try for T-Mobile Arena? I don't know.
I feel like no matter where I am in the building, the moment they announce that Double or Nothing is taking place in Detroit, I will be able to hear you.
You're not even going to be in the building.
I'm not. Yeah.
Just a sustained scream.
Right. All right. Well, we'll look forward in the, you know, as the things develop over the year here of talking about All Elite Wrestling and what's to come.
Well, we'll have to do some sort of follow up next week after the presser.
Because yeah, for sure.
That's, I mean, obviously, we're going to find out more details then. Now yep. It's just like, this is a thing, but you got to wait for more information. It's like, ah, you sons of bitches.
Right.
I want to know what everything now.
All right. Well, we will. We'll be back in just a minute and we'll be talking about Mean Gene Okerlund.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Wednesday night. Time for Nerd Radio.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio, your all-wrestling episode of Nerd Radio Star 2019. Call it a late Christmas present, because you're getting 2 episodes this week. You're getting this one, and then you're getting your regular Nerd Radio on Friday morning, this one going up Wednesday night. It's Chuck Bean hanging out with Eric Abanez. We usually call this segment the Squared Circle Roundtable, but I'm not calling it that this week, because it's just all wrestling.
Well, the fact that you've even allowed me to have my own episode, well, it's not mine, it's our episode.
It is.
I threw that suggestion out to you after all the news about AEW and Double or Nothing.
And I knew Wrestle Kingdom was this week, and I'm
right.
Like, yeah, I think we could talk about wrestling, the whole thing. And you know what? If the downloads on this episode are worse than the downloads of the regular episodes, then, you know, I won't do it again.
I'm like, then fine. Well, then once again, you like don't feel like it's very thoughtful that you're humoring me, but you don't have to do it.
I'd like to imagine that there is a segment of our audience who very much enjoys the wrestling talk that we have, and you know, maybe I know that there are some that just tune out when the wrestling, they're like, wrestling's not my thing. I was like, but you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that tune out when me and Al talk about comic books, because, like, yeah, we want to hear about the movies or what's on Netflix, but we really don't care about reading comic books, whatever.
Once again, I don't know a damn thing about comic books. I don't know a damn thing. Oh, I know some things about video games because I live with 2 gamers.
There you go.
But, like, I'm bad at it. Right? And it's like, no, I am strictly a wrestling person. Right. So, huzzah.
Well, the news just broke, I want to say maybe an hour or two ago.
Yeah.
That WWE Hall of Famer Mean Gene Okerlund has passed away at, how old was he?
76.
The age of 76. Do we have any details as far as... Was it heart related or anything?
Cause of death as of right now, as we are recording, hasn't been released. I will say when I got that push notification, I think I went, oh, no, because yeah. I was just up in my office working and, you know, I'm attached to all sorts of different news outlets to my phone. And whenever someone dies, it shows up on your phone. I was so sad because... Well, it's Mean Gene. He has anchored so many classic promos and classic moments
Absolutely.
In WWE history that it's hard to pick a favorite, and to create a list is an incredible task. I listed in like my own obit on Riff.com three of my favorites. Cup of Coffee.
Yeah.
Holy
Cup of Coffee is definitely
hell.
A Mean Gene thing.
Like, well, and then he was also there with the Cream of the Crop, where
he's part of that. Yeah, the Randy Savage Cream of the Crop promo. There's that SummerSlam one with Bobby Heenan. I think it's Rick Rude, where the SummerSlam sign falls behind them.
Yes,
that blooper.
Oh my God! It's so like, well, my we were watching Botch Club or whatever they call it on the WWE Network, hosted by Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows.
Sure,
and they had like that clip in like their little like recap of like, oh, bloopers and wrestling,
right?
Because it's so classic, because like, you know, Mean Gene was just like the picture of professionalism, and then all of a sudden the sign breaks and like he just lets out an f-bomb and you're yep. like, what? Mean Gene, how do you declare?
Right. And he was always the one that, you know, either it was either Bobby Heenan or it was the governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura. My brain wasn't firing on all cylinders there, but whenever they would say something, it's like, oh, come on, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, first of all, the fact that you had a brain fart on Jesse Ventura and you're like, oh, the governor of Minnesota, that's what triggered it.
Yep.
I find fascinating, and that's a whole segment to unpack by itself.
Yeah, no,
but
that's a small peek into what's going on in my brain at any given time.
But like, when you think of backstage interviewers, like, he is the standard.
He is
the standard, and I just don't think anyone's ever going to top him. The tone and timbre of that man's voice, just one of those iconic voices. Like, when you think of, great, just straight voices in wrestling, you think of Mean Gene, you think of Howard Finkel.
Absolutely.
Where it's just immediately, like, two words in, you know who's talking.
Yeah.
Immediately. You don't have to be looking at anything. You just need to hear it, and you're like, yeah, that's Mean Gene.
I personally, I'd always, Gorilla Monsoon. I have
a
soft spot in my heart for Gorilla Monsoon. Whenever I hear Gorilla's voice on some old wrestling, I'm always like, oh, I love Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But Mean Gene was a broadcast journalist. Before he got into wrestling, he was a disc jockey.
Yeah. Well, same with a sort of similar path, Michael Cole. Michael Cole, journalist as well, and somehow made his way to the wrestling world. Michael Cole, no Mean Gene Okerlund, no offense to Michael Cole.
Oh, sure.
But like what a career. Like, what an outstanding career to have. Obviously inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You can't think of that heyday of, well, then WWF, without thinking of Mean Gene. He was such an integral part of it.
Anybody who was a fan of wrestling in the 80s knows the voice and the look of me. Like, just the look of him, he had kind of, he was a little balding, and he had the mustache, and he was always smaller than just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you know Mean Gene. And if you're a fan of wrestling from the 80s, for sure.
The way he could direct a promo and guide a segment.
Yeah.
No one has really ever touched it since. Like, you've had people who've been good in
for
the backstage role, but like, you're not Mean Gene.
Not. Well, and I think that's part of how the industry works nowadays too, is that you look at somebody like Renee Young, who was fantastic in a backstage role, and then, you know, as the host of Talking Smack, has now moved up to just doing commentary, mm-hmm. not doing the backstage stuff anymore. So I think you don't see a lot of characters like Mean Gene that will be the backstage, the voice of, you know, the backstage interviewer for a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's a stepping stone nowadays. Whereas for Mean Gene, that was his career.
Yeah.
Was being the guy backstage with Hulk Hogan or Randy Savage or Jake Roberts terrorizing him with the snake every time that they were backstage together. He even followed a lot of those guys to WCW during the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah. Well, he had that great in-ring promo. Well, it was Ric Flair's promo, you know, where he ended up, you know, taking off his pants and you know, doing the elbow drop on his jacket.
He was standing in the ring getting showered with garbage with the NWO when they started.
Yeah. And that's
That's a big deal. And then he even got a spot in the Ready to Rumble movie, which is a fantastic scene.
He was also in the, was it WrestleMania 17 with the gimmick battle royal?
He was on commentary with Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
Yep. And that was fascinating and fun. And that led to him kind of officially coming back for a couple years.
Yeah.
He was doing stuff before there was the WWE Network. There was the WWE On Demand.
Yeah.
And he would do some of the shows on that. But he also did the WWE Confidential show. It used to be on Saturday nights, which was some cool stuff. Man, we're going to miss you, Mean Gene.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
One of a kind.
Absolutely. So thank you. Thank you for coming in, Erica.
Thank you for indulging me.
Filling up this hour of wrestling talk. Hopefully you have a fantastic time this Friday at 4 a.m. watching Wrestle Kingdom. And hopefully you guys have had a great time listening to us. If you have, hit us up on our social media, Nerd Radio 101. Let us know some of your favorite Mean Gene moments. Let us know what you're looking forward to at Wrestle Kingdom. Let us know, you know, even if you're like, man, the wrestling episode just didn't do anything for me. Hit us up on the social media. Let us know, man. Because we try and put the show together in accordance to not only what I personally enjoy, but what you guys enjoy hearing about. So
be gentle, though. We're fragile people.
We do have very, I don't have very thick skin. So, you know, don't, it's not like James screaming Elias sucks at guitar.
Talk about somebody going into business for themselves. I'm like, James, right. You dog.
Well, if you want to hear more about that, make sure you download the other episode from this week as myself, James, and Al Beck catch up with what we've all been doing over the holidays. It's a fantastic time to be a wrestling nerd.
Yeah, it sure is.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out!
That's cool, though, because a little bit of, you know...
Yeah.
A little bit of friction helps. That's why we suck. Because we have no friction.
Not at all. No! No, we don't suck. We're a delight! That's why we suck.
We're very encouraging. I'm not good at the friction part. I'm very accepting to everybody's opinions.
Look. All right. Now I'm pissed.
B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.